Thanks, Andy. It's good to be here, or there, or wherever we are.
Wherever you may be at this moment. Now, the reason why we've got you on is quite a few things that I want to talk to you about. First of which is the new single, which is How Can You Leave Me On My Own, which is due out, I think it's the early parts of next month, isn't it?
Yes, in as much as anything goes out anymore. Basically, that's its impact date in modern music industry parlance. Let's just say it's the new single.
Do you know, actually, right, you've brought me onto something here, which I was wanting to ask you maybe a bit later through the interview, but you've kind of brought me into it nicely now. My influences of music were very much that stuff in the mid-90s. You've been very big part of the music industry, I think 1989.
Ooh, 25 years.
Yeah. In that time, what's changed? I mean, first of all, impact dates versus release dates. That must be one thing, but what other things have you seen change?
Just about everything, really. I've watched the money drain out of music, you know, like sand from an hourglass. I walked through this building and saw an old Studer 2-inch tape machine, and it's suddenly like a relic that is left out to pasture. When that was, you know, the industry standard recording tool when I started out, and you know, now it's like all waveforms on a computer, and I did feel a little sort of moment of, I want to go back there.
Is that something you could do, though, if in 2016 you were to turn around to your label and say, I've had this great idea, I'm going to go completely analog rather than WAV forms and DAWs, you know, music production equipment like that? Would they just turn around to you and say, no, Neil, come on, it's 2016?
Well, they wouldn't turn around to me and say that, because that's me. Divine Comedy Records, mate. Me and my manager, Natalie, we just do it all ourselves. And so I could turn around to myself and say no, and I'd probably be right too, because the problem is that you can't. It's like old cars; you can't get the parts. So if anything breaks, you wouldn't really have anywhere to go. So you're pretty much stuck, you know, in digital land forevermore. Sad.
What about the live performances? We hear so much now that that's where, I don't want to talk about money, but I suppose that's where people say the money is now. But the live performances, do you find that the expectations of the crowd have changed in the time you've been in the industry?
I think certainly as far as my crowd are concerned, all they expect differently now is a nice comfy chair to sit in when they come to a show. I know that I would if I go to a show. Like, no more standing for me. Oh, the hips can't take it. No, I think they know what they're going to get. It's kind of a lot of hopefully good tunes and some interesting lyrics, a lot of bad repartee from me, and a lot of forgetting lyrics, usually, because I've written so many songs. I really enjoy playing live. I like the actual show part of it an awful lot. I mean, you know, who wouldn't like a little mass adulation of an evening? It's good for the ego. But then you've got all the sort of annoyances of tour life in between, which can be a bit of a downer. Apart from, you know, missing home and the comforts of home, it's also just like an endless search for food that you can eat on the road. You'd be amazed how difficult it can be.
Do you know, I've got visions, though, of a future tour for you where the whole album is being performed via a reel-to-reel, with your vocals being sung from a sofa. I can see that. That would work.
Yeah, it's like how Kraftwerk dreamt of, you know, their shows being performed by robots in the future. It never came to pass, though. They still have to go on before the robots, or else nobody cares.
Now, Neil, I must ask about some of your other projects that you've done away from Divine Comedy, one being Duckworth Lewis Method. And by that, just by default, that means you're well aware of cricket more so than I am. I love the you know, the term and the name of the band. Are you keeping up to date much with the county championship season at the moment?
No, I'm afraid I am almost cricket illiterate at the moment, because I haven't had a chance to watch any for so many months. So, you know, every now and again in rehearsals, you know, somebody says, oh, England, you know, are up to 250 for three. I go, oh. And, you know, get back to work. But, you know, when all this is over, next summer is just going to be sitting on a sofa watching cricket for me.
So something else that I wanted to ask you about as well, and it's to do with your TV work, and I don't think I'm going to be the only person who's ever spoken to you and said, do you mind talking a bit about Father Ted? For those who are maybe not as knowledgeable, you might not realise that the actual Father Ted theme tune, that was written by you, but it also featured the sort of same track in the song, I think it was Songs of Love, wasn't it? Now, which came first? Was it Songs of Love or was it the Father Ted theme tune?
I have to say, it was exactly the same time. It was literally, I was working up this melody, and I had it. I was going to probably make a song out of it, but then they came along, and I thought, well, this sounds like it might be the thing. And sure enough, it worked out. And sort of as it was in production, I was writing the song for the album. So it was kind of, it coexisted, yeah. It was funny, though, because I also gave them the whistly bit from A Woman of the World off the same album, Casanova. And I remember Graham and Arthur, the writers, loving the whistly one because they said it sounded so, situation comedy kind of vibe. And but their excellent producer said, no, it's the Irishy sounding one. That's the one we want. Yeah.
And I've got to also say, My Lovely Horse as well. I believe you're a big part of that too.
My Lovely Horse was a funny one. Yeah, Graham and Arthur wrote the words. I can't take credit for the insanity of those, but I did set them to a glorious arrangement, which seems to be one of the most famous things I've ever written. Bizarrely, certainly in Ireland, they love it, and. Yes, that'll be my epitaph, rather than, you know, A Lady of a Certain Age with its glorious, you know, observation of the human experience. It'll be a song about a pony.
For me, I think one of the songs that stands out as well is National Express. I play that on the show at any possible opportunity I get play that. It's just amazing when you think how many years have gone since that song was out. But let's not delve into how long that's been
years,
and depressed both of ourselves. Let's just talk very quickly then, as we say, new single, How Can You Leave Me On My Own? The impact date is October the 7th. It's from the album Foreverland. You're touring, I think you're touring in two separate parts. You're touring through next month, then you give yourself basically Christmas off, and you're back out in sort of January time.
That's right, yeah. I thought Christmas really should be spent at home in glorious Kildare in the fog. Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. Do come.